darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. I was delayed getting started in the program because our team here has wanted to distract me with conversations about Lane Kiffin to LSU. To which I just simply say, even when Ole Miss wins, they lose. What?
He's a bad man.
Even when they win, they lose. Best season in the history of the school, lose a coach immediately. Ain't that something? I won't go into all of that. Needless to say, there was much discussion about that before coming on the air. It appears there's going to be more discussion because some folks don't want to leave the screening room. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality. Understanding the primacy that God places on family. Not selling out to the highest bidder. Ooh. Ooh. I mentioned I'm Abraham Hamilton III. I'm the host of this program. I am joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. Man in the screening room, producer extraordinaire. Often imitated but never duplicated, the real J. Mac. And he is accompanied by our friendly neighborhood woodaholic, perpetually in recovery, Mr. Marty Sparks, ladies and gentlemen, as we do intend to open the phone lines this program. I'm grateful to be back in studio. Had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with my family. However, we talk about this all the time. Thanksgiving for the believer is never meant to be a particular Thursday in November, but it's actually a consistent disposition that we enjoy. And I'm excited to be able to do so. So many things are happening in the world. I'm glad to be in studio again. I do have some vacation time coming up toward the end of the year, and I'll talk more about that as we get closer. But I'll be strapped in as we head toward the end of the year of our Lord 2025. So much is happening in the world, man. So much is happening in our nation. Thinking about things internationally is because who I'm married to, I have the opportunity to peruse Spanish media sometimes. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, you should hear how they're talking about Maduro in hiding. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's apparently vacated Venezuela and he's in hiding in another country. Some say he's in Nicaragua. And the people are pining for President Trump. But I said this, and I don't mean to be offensive in saying this. But the Venezuelan people want to have, you know, Marubio, President Trump, to rescue them from their decision to elect Hugo Chavez. I've long said, and I'll continue to say, you only get to vote for socialism once. We will be prudent in our country to take heed to the negative examples that are swirling all around us. Never has socialism, because it's a demonic ideology that is programmed to bludgeon the people who are subjected to it into poverty, destruction, and death, frankly. To the Word of God we go. Colossians chapter 2 is where we're going to begin the program today. A portion of scripture we've talked about before, but unfortunately, we are living in a time period to where much of what the scripture has warned about is coming to fruition before our very eyes. And I'm gravely concerned not many of us recognize truly where we are. Colossians chapter 2. We've talked about this in the past, which is why I'm going to just zero in right on verse 8. The chapter begins with the Apostle Paul warning the Colossian believer against beguilement or delusion, which is seduction that is, sorry, which is deception that is connected to seduction. And when I say seduction, don't confine that idea to some type of prurient interest in the kind of sexualized context. People are seduced by things like free money. You know, people are seduced by free this, free that, free things are seductive, which is why demagogues and politicians use that kind of enticement on a regular basis. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, see to it, this is the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, writing to the believers in Colossae. And the Lord says to the Apostle Paul, to the believer, see to it that no one takes you captive, that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world rather than on Christ. Guys, this is one of the verses in Scripture that punctuates the absolute necessity and the enduring necessity of cultivating a biblical view of life, a biblical worldview. The Scripture reveals that having a biblical worldview is the way to fortify yourselves, to fortify ourselves against deception that leads to captivity, deception that leads to destruction. And it's important that we understand it in these terms. As I mentioned, in this same chapter, in verse 4, Paul initially states, I'm writing so you would not be beguiled, so that you would not be deluded. That delusion, if left unchecked, if left unconfronted, and left not cast down, if not combated vigorously combated, it will, not may, it will end in captivity. The Scripture has given us that warning. And in many ways, man, we have sauntered and we have, you know, I was just thinking about how many people I came across in my own life who say, oh boy, man, ooh, we sure ate a lot on Thanksgiving. And I'm just like, you don't even realize how rare that statement is in all of human history over time, let alone in our current time. How many nations of the world do you think people can say, oh boy, ooh, we ate so much. We ate so much. Guys, that's a relatively rare phenomenon currently, and it is an objectively rare phenomenon historically. But in our time, and our brother Rick Green was sharing this when I was in his shop a couple weeks ago, how in the cycle of nations, when you get close to about the 250th year, which we are approaching, the 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence is next year, 2026. That's when you normally see the deviation, you know, the whole cycle, strong men makes good times make weak men, that whole cycle that's been discussed. I've discussed it as well. I think we have failed to understand just, when I say we, I'm talking about the body of Christ generally in our country. Certainly there are exceptions. I believe this audience is an exception. I believe those who are new to this audience are joining the exception. But I'm sharing this in the hopes to provide an encouragement and equipment to warn and share with others. I think many among us, our fellow citizens, fail to understand how rejecting God's view of his world, rejecting God's view of his world. That's right. Titler's cycle of nations. I've talked about that. Good eye, Kirk. rejecting God's view of his world leaves us imperiled. I don't think people understand and appreciate the significance of that. When mankind rejects God's view of his world, the world that he created, the word the scripture says that is his and the fullness thereof, we and those who dwell therein, we become the casualties of that rejection. That is what I don't think people fully understand or appreciate. The scripture tells us plainly, see to it that no one takes you captive. What is the mechanism of that captivity? I'm glad you asked. Through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. This is a way that the Romans 1 phenomenon of men refusing to worship the creator, but worshiping the creature. Men develop traditions in rebellion against God's view of his world. Then we pit man's word or man's view against God's word and God's view. And if and when we embrace man's view and man's word, we end up suffering. Guys, that is literally what the Hebrew scripture in the book of Judges, for example, explains. God delivers man. Man enjoys God's deliverance temporally and temporarily. A generation arises and does not know the Lord. It results in those people enduring untold pain. The people cry out to God for deliverance. God delivers them, and the cycle repeats. And the cycle repeats. We've embraced ideologies like the wicked ideology to sever the pleasure of physical intimacy from the covenantal context of marriage and the intrinsic component of childbearing. And we put ourselves on a course for self-annihilation. Demographic winters all over Europe, demographic winter in Japan, demographic winter comes home to America. And our citizenry is not reproducing at replacement rates. Then the argument becomes we need, as a matter of necessity, immigration in order to sustain our population. Historically, the idea was America being the melting pot, e pluribus unum, out of many one. People come from where they come from to become American, not to come to America to wave other people's flags, to celebrate other people's flags, and to burn American flags. That's not what it used to be, but that's what it's become. We have, and you're going to hear this in a few moments, a candidate for Congress in Tennessee, special election actually happening tomorrow. So she envisions herself, she had a dream, you see, talking to a therapist about it. And she's screaming, I don't want children, I want power. Mm-hmm. Y'all should see Marty's face. We got the clip. We'll play it for you. Come to the next segment, actually. I don't want children. I want power. Wow. The statement is breathtaking in and of itself. But when we open the phone lines, I want to ask the question, how widespread have you encountered that idea being spewed? When we open the phone lines, I want to ask you, have you heard this in your regular life? Not just somebody talking about it on the radio and some public presentation of some sort, but in your everyday lives. Have you heard people saying these types of things? Not just women, men and women. But to have a woman who is hardwired biologically to be a mother to say, no, I don't want to be a mother. I want power. That's wild, man. That's wild. When we reject God's view of his world, we imperil ourselves. The failure to ascribe to God the gravity that is necessary concerning his holy word has put us in a very, very precarious position.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What are some biblical characteristics and some biblical standards that help us see and define what a godly man looks like? Here are a few. Number one, he has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. Number two, he seeks to read the Word of God daily for himself. Number three, he spends time daily in prayer. Number four, he seeks to have a time daily to bring the family together to read the Word of God, teach from the Word of God, and pray together. Number five, he takes and or makes time to train and instruct his children, teaching them about God, the Word of God, and teaching them wisdom for all areas of life. Number six, he seeks to lead and take his family to church regularly, such as worship service on Sundays and Bible studies on Wednesdays. Number seven, he has a sense of mission in his life.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. God's word must be given appropriate gravity because it is, and I don't mean to be dramatic, it is God's word. Because of our ease of access and the frequency of exposure, I was talking to even recently, I had the privilege of growing up in my home church that we had some of our seasoned saints. And this is in the 90s, the mid to late 90s. Some of the sisters who were part of our missionary team, and they would smuggle Bibles into China. And they would, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but they would take the Bibles. Let's just say this way. They would do with Bibles what drug dealers would do trying to get drugs into our country. I'll just say it that way. Leave it there. I know this is the late 90s. I'm sure they've changed strategies by now. But I am confident that these sisters helped some of the house churches to become as fortified as they are currently because they got Bibles there. But the house churches valued the Word of God so much, and we would intentionally smuggle Bibles in Mandarin and in various dialects. But they valued the Lord's word so much, they would say, no, we don't want to be greedy. We'd only like to have one Bible per house church. If you can get the Bibles to us, we will hand copy our Bibles for our people. But all we need is one. You can take the others to the other house churches. But in many of our families, even in unbelieving homes, they got Bibles on mantelpieces and things. But they don't value it as God's holy word. And that's how we treat God's word practically, that we think and act as if we escape unscathed by rejecting God's word. And I'll just say it, just as the Apostle Peter wrote, y'all tripping, God is not slack concerning his promises. He's just long-suffering. But don't think long-suffering is synonymous with forever suffering. We suffer when we reject God's word. We suffer when we neglect God's word. I'm grateful to God to this very day for having that experience to witness these sisters preparing for these mission trips. And we'll be praying for them for their protection and their safety and to successfully get the cargo dropped off and returned home safely. But to learn how our eternal brothers and sisters values God's word so much so. We need one per church. We don't want to be greedy. We'll make sure we reproduce it for our people. All right. I want to bring this up for two reasons. One, there's a special election that's going to happen tomorrow in the Nashville, Tennessee area. But the election has brought ideas and concepts to the fore that I believe we need to address. So what am I talking about? First, I'm talking about Tennessee's 7th Congressional District, to where, what's her name? Afton Ben is she's a state legislator in Tennessee, and she's running in a special election to fill the vacated congressional seat. The incumbent Republican is retiring from Congress. Bobby, would you look up who Afton Ben is running against for me? Just because I need to mention.
Yeah, Mark Van Epps.
Mark Van Epps, that's right. Mark Van Epps is her Republican opponent in this race. But Afton Ben has, I mean, let's just start here. She's a Democratic candidate. She has lots of problems. In addition to her political affiliation, her very own ideology. And I'll start here. In 2023, October of 2023, an online publication based in Tennessee called 10 Beat published an interview with the then newly elected state representative Afton Ben. The person who conducted this interview and later published this article, her name is Catherine Rickmeyer. And I'll mention why I'm sharing her name and why it's important in a moment. All right. So in the interview with Catherine Rickmeyer, Afton Ben provided for the 10 Beat publication, she described herself in 2023 as the AOC of Tennessee. That's how she described herself, as the AOC of Tennessee. The article that Catherine Rickmeyer ends up publishing following the interview with Afton Ben charts her rise from University of Texas psychology student to, quote, progressive community organizer. In the interview, Afton Ben, and just for guys who don't know, the term community organizer comes from Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. It's the same thing that Barack Obama identified himself with. You know, Rules for Radicals, a pragmatic primer for realistic radicals that gave the introductory shout out to Lucifer. All right. That's what she's calling herself now. A community organizer. In the article, she goes, that's right. Lysander said, that is not a compliment. Exactly. That's the point I'm making. In the article, she goes on to say, and Catherine Rickmeyer is quoting her, and says, quote, during her senior year at the University of Texas, Afton Ben interned at the Arc of Texas, a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the lives of persons with disabilities. The article written by Catherine Rickmeyer notes that Ben, quote, developed talking points on disability policies for the state legislature during that internship, giving her an early taste of political life that led her to spend the summer, after graduation, canvassing for Democrat Representative Lloyd Doggett. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Folks have the tendency to check out what you say. So the Arc of Texas, the nonprofit group, was contacted and asked about the years of Afton Ben's employment and or internship or other relationship with the Arc of Texas. And guess what the Arc of Texas had to say? Guess, y'all want to guess what they had to say? I'll tell you what they had to say. The Arc of Texas says, quote, we have no record of an intern or employee with the name of Afton Ben, end quote. We have no record. We have no record of her ever working for us. Catherine Rickmeyer, the author of the article, was contacted and said, Catherine, you published this stuff about Afton Ben in 10 Beat. You published this. You know what Catherine Rickmeyer says? Well, everything I put in that article about her working for the Arc of Texas, she told me that herself. The Arc of Texas said, we ain't never had nobody who worked for us by that name. So in a word, somebody lying. And I tend to think, what would be the incentive for the Arc of Texas to deny that? Why would Catherine Rickmeyer lie? Then you ask the question, why would Afton Ben lie? Mm-hmm. And then not only that, the same Afton Ben, who is a state legislator, and I'm saying this, man, because this is some insidious ideology, because I don't know how y'all feel, but I don't want liars to be my football coach. Certainly don't want liars to be in Congress. I mean, you ain't even in D.C. yet, and you lying, man, you lying. You ain't never worked for Arc of Texas. Not only that, in 2020, before she was elected as a state legislator, you see. No, let me take a few steps back. In a podcast interview in 2020, she was asked about what she really thought about Nashville. And I won't say what she said. I won't try to characterize her comments. I'll let you hear what Afton Ben has to say about Nashville all on her own. Listen to clip number three. This is an audio clip only. Clip number three. Go.
I've been heavily involved with the Nashville mayoral race because I hate the city. I hate the bachelorettes. I hate the pedal taverns. I hate country music. I hate all of the things that make Nashville apparently an it city to the rest of the country, but I hate it. Yeah, I'm that girl at the airport that all these bachelorettes are giddy walking out in their two-toned colored Pantone pink shirts, and they walk out and I'm like, they're like, oh my God, Nashville is so bad.
They're so loud.
So she hates the city that she's running to be Congress, to be the congressional representative for. Now, I would add to this that she also is the state legislature right now. Her district includes downtown Nashville. Somebody want to explain to me why you would want to represent a location that you hate? I'm sorry. That's right. Matt Van Epps, not Mark Van Epps. Thank you for that correction. She hates the city. Now, to try to be as fair as possible, after this audio started making the rounds and Afton Ben decided she wanted to run for Congress, she started saying, oh, no, I don't hate Nashville. I was just complaining about tourism. That's not what I really feel. No. To which I would just simply say, why you never try to correct that before you start running for Congress? Easy. Oh, but the answer to your question, no, I guess I should say the answer to my question, as to why would you run for office in a place that you have said, nobody made these words up out of your own mouth, you said you hate Nashville. Then why would you want to run for office in that area? I'll just let you hear her own words once again. So this next little ditty, in addition to some other things I'm going to share with you, was again, let me make sure I got that right. Yeah. Yeah, in 2020. Mm-hmm. She explained that her therapist wants her to, you know, transcribe her dreams. And in her dreams, she had something very, very revealing to say. Listen to clip number two. Clip two. Go.
My therapist always asks me to transcribe my dreams when they happen. And the recurring dream I've had is standing up in a cafeteria full of women. I don't know why I was there or whatever. And saying, I don't want children. I want power. And just screaming it at the top of my lungs. And for someone who grew up with my mother telling me never have kids because you will, you know, you'll have to give up a lot. You'll have to sacrifice professionally, which is what she was saying. And where I am now with seeing the consequences and the ramifications of women having kids and being in the political field and what they're able to achieve, because we don't offer, you know, it's like the political field hasn't met the challenge of working moms. They really haven't. But also the deeply patriarchal structures that these women are involved with because they've chosen marriage and they've chosen to raise children. And I think in the South, it's incredibly difficult to shake those, especially if you've grown up here and that's all you've been told is the definition of success. The metric of success is how many kids you have, the bigger the square footage of your house.
Yeah.
And where your kids go to school.
Why would you want to run for office in an area where you, out of your own words, in your own mouth, you said you hate this place? Oh, but you didn't mean it. No, okay. All right, that's what you said. I don't really believe that, but all right. When people tell you who they are, believe them. So she began that comment by referring to her therapist. Okay. And then she doesn't want children. She wanted power. Isn't that an interesting phrasing? Like, I don't want babies. I want power. Huh. So she clearly articulated the idea. And for anybody who would say, well, that's what she said she had a dream for. Did you notice how she began to explain her own dream? And saying, oh, by the way, her mom told her, you don't ever want to have children. Can you imagine the head game that would have done to the child, having your own mom say, hey, by the way, you don't want to have children because children will ruin all your dreams. And you're the child of the person saying this. Maybe that's why she had a therapist, man. You know what I'm saying? But to have the notion that having power is what she wants, not children. I have obviously lots of thoughts and comments on that idea, but that is what I want to ask when we open the phone lines. Have you heard, talking to those who are going to call in your own lives, in your own interactions with people, have you personally heard people repeat the same type of idea? That children are an impediment to the life that I deserve. Having children is a trap. Who wants to be bogged down with children? I'm sure many of you won't be surprised that the same would-be Wonder Woman also champions things like, you know, abolition of prisons. She tried to scrub her social media after she'd been saying these things publicly. Now she's running for Congress trying to scrub her social media. But the internet is forever. And the disrespectful music grabbed me. But I'm going to play next out of her greatest hits. Her espousal that, you know, men and women can give birth. And in fact, we should use the birthers. We should use that for collective bargaining. What in the world? Guys, these are the type of ideologies that persist when God's view of his world have been rejected. And you say that these are empowering, but in really you are imprisoning yourselves with your own chains. Kind of like Brave New World said would happen. More when we get back, and we plan to open the phone lines. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We're going to get in a couple more notions of show content, and then we'll get to your calls after this break.
The biblical principles our nation was founded upon are under attack.
They're trying to change the whole course of our understanding about the way things are about our own country.
Sandy Rios.
They're trying to untether us from our Constitution and certainly from our God.
Trust Sandy Rios to bring you unfiltered, insightful commentary from a Christian worldview. Find her podcast titled Sandy Rios 24/7 online at AFR.net.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
The Pilgrims. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. A small group of Christians known as the Pilgrims are widely considered to be the founders of America. They said they came to America, quote, for the glory of God in the advancement of the Christian faith. Their biblical beliefs on personal and civic life led directly to the principles of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. This year is the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims' first Thanksgiving, when they thanked God for a bountiful harvest after a brutal first winter. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Hear an interview and preview a documentary on the Pilgrims at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to The Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Before we went to the break, I played audio made by congressional candidate Afton Ben. She's running against, she's a Democratic representative. She's a state representative. She's a Democratic candidate for Tennessee's 7th District's congressional race. She's running against Matt Van Epps, and the special election is tomorrow. That's why I'm giving attention to this now, that if you are, we have a significant audience in the Nashville area. One, you may not be aware that there's a special election tomorrow, that will contribute to the makeup of Congress. So, you know, you got to, you know, shake off the tryptophan from your turkey and get out and vote, because this woman's ideology, the United States of America's Congress must be spared from this woman. Not anything personal against her. Her ideology is skewed, man. It's skewed. In addition to stating she hated Nashville, well, she's running to represent them again, by the way. She ran to represent that area in the state legislature and running again in Congress. Then why would she do so? Well, she said that, you know, in her dream, she confronted the notion that she didn't want babies. She wanted power. She wanted power. When you say stuff like that, I listen. And power to do what? Well, she gives you an indication. I've already mentioned. And she tried to scrub her social media, but she advocated for the abolition of prisons, you know. She said, quote, as a legislator who believes in prison abolition, I'm committed to addressing the root causes of crime rather than implementing punitive measures that often perpetuate a cycle of harm, end quote. So you want to address the root cause of crime, like sin? That's what you want to confront? Or do you think she has other ideas? In case you're wondering about that, she also said, you know, she said white people needed to join the movement to abolish prisons. Yeah. She posted that on June 19th, 2024. On this June 19th, we need less white folks posting Canva graphics and more adopting prison abolition as a political foundation. Yeah, end quote. Yeah, that's what she said. Not only that, she also believes that both men and women give birth. Yeah. And birthing people should use their capacity to give birth as a collective bargaining chip. I am not joking. Listen to clip number four. Clip four, go.
I think as an organizer and as an activist, like, we really have an opportunity here in this country to talk about what type of policy, progressive policies we want to see as young women. And I think we have, you know, as birther, you know, as women who can give birth, men and women who can give birth, we could maybe leverage that as collective bargaining, which is the basis of this book that I'm not, I've just started reading, but called Birth Strike, and how we can really leverage collective bargaining when it comes to having children in this country. And so, for example, like, I'm not going to give birth until the United States government concedes ABCD. Mm. What do you think about that?
It seems a little much.
Sure.
Now, you want that kind of person in Congress? And listen, I'm bringing this to you for this conversation. Yes, for the reality of a special election is tomorrow, guys, in Nashville. In the Nashville District 7. All right. But also to highlight the ideologies. And for some of you, we know generally people may think these kinds of things, but hearing them actually say them. And to say, hey, and by the way, I want to represent you in Congress. I specifically want to talk to you, those who are calling in now, and depending on how many callers we have, we'll weave into some other stuff, because, of course, I want to talk about President Trump's moratorium on immigration from third world countries and the conversations we need to have around that. You know, how do we go from, you know, Western civilization being a beacon for freedom, and now we have no-go zones in our own countries? I shared on social media not too long ago, there was a pastor who was mourning Vodi Bakum's death, and he happened to have been traveling, and he was in the DFW airport, and he wanted to go to the chapel and spend some time with the Lord in prayer. But he was forbidden from entering the chapel because you had a Muslim prayer service going on. In DFW. I just flew through DFW with my wife and children. I have to tell you, it was an interesting experience. Have you encountered, this is a question. Here's a number first, and I'll get to the question again. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. The question I have is, have you encountered in your personal life someone, man or woman, doesn't matter, who espoused to you the idea that children were an impediment to a successful life? I don't want babies. I want power. That's what Afton Ben said. Have you experienced someone in your life has said that? Because what I'm trying to see is, in this audience, how widespread has this ideology been? How personally, how widespread personal encounters with this type of ideology has been in this audience in particular? We'll start in Mississippi, where Haywood is on the line. Haywood, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hamilton, and God bless you for what you do. You expose the truth in these hard times. And what? Here's what I've got to say.
Okay.
Obviously, this is a pro-life question.
Mm.
This lady running, they want power, and you ask the question, do you know anybody? I've known four or five women that match that description.
Mm.
And unfortunately, abortion was a one of the greatest sins ever committed, but thank you, Jesus, he forgave me. But in the meantime, this lady is demonic, and I will promise all your listeners, as long as Kid Rock and Trace Atkins are in Nashville, she will not get elected. But in the meantime, thank you for what you do, and God bless you. And this is a demonic spirit. It's a spirit of murder. The greatest sin America's ever committed was abortion.
Mm.
And until we stop abortion, just stop it, we will never be blessed as a nation.
Thank you for your call and your comments, Haywood. Thank you for your call and your comments. You know, the only thing I would say is that this lady is currently a state legislator in this area that includes downtown Nashville. So, and you know, I didn't even posit the idea. Clearly, yes, it's a pro-life question, no doubt. I didn't even posit that specifically, abortion. But she said, I don't want babies, I want power. Clearly communicating that bearing children, in her view, was an impediment to her procurement of power. Whoa. I reiterate what I said in the first segment. When we reject God's view of his world, we are imperiled by that rejection. Back to the phone lines we go. To Tennessee, Mary is on the line. I shudder to ask, Mary, would you happen to be in the 7th Congressional District in Tennessee?
No, I'm in Chattanooga, so I think that's
okay.
The 10th.
Okay.
I didn't even know there was an election. Last time I called the election people, they said next one was March of next year, so I wasn't even aware.
Well, it's a special election. It's not a normal. It's a special election because the Congress member in the 7th District is resigning from Congress. So it's a special election. It's not one on the normal schedule. But welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
This is where the feminist movement leads us to. I recently read some books and stuff out by Phyllis Schlafly. She was fighting this for years. We've been dealing with this. It's like 160 years in the coming. This is pervading all of society, our schools, our media, everything. And when people don't know, it's lack of knowledge, ignorance, lack of knowledge. We just don't know. And what you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, very well said. Have you encountered this type of ideology in your personal life with others?
Yes, I have. It's really hard on women to try to provide for their families and so forth. And, they almost shocked if you have more than, one child. And the thing is, we're heading down the road, if this keeps going, we're going to be enforced it's going to be enforced on us, but it's enforced in China right now, or worse. That's
Mary,
where we're headed.
Mary, thank you for your call and your comments. Yeah, I mean, you're right about Phyllis Schlafly. This is one of the major things that she, her entire movement with Eagle Forum and all was founded on this idea to where the concept of motherhood being conflated with misery. She was like, well, no, that's not what I experienced. This is absurd what you're advocating for. Back to the phone lines we go. Again, the question on the table is based on Afton Ben's comments that she did not want babies. She wanted power. Clearly an ideology that flows from feminist theory. I would want to reiterate for those who may not be aware, feminist theory is actually a subset of critical theory, which is the ideology that was utilized to force global Marxism that required the casting off of existing, this is their term, hegemony. And so critical theory, which gave rise to critical race theory, to queer critical theory, and to feminist theory, they're all substrata of the same critical theory ideology. Have you encountered this in your own lives? And what is the context in which you've encountered this? If you're welcome to share that, the idea that children are an impediment to a successful life, or as Afton Ben said, she didn't want babies, she wanted power. We go next to Kansas, where Kay is on the line. Kay, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, Abe, so much for all you do. And I was going to speak to something else, but I will say that I know of, I know of a pastor that believes that way. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people that have been influenced, and they may not be able to articulate it, but are influenced by this feminist and skewed thinking. And I guess one thing that I wanted to ask you on that is, is there anything in the Bible that talks about where God encourages his own people when things get really bad
yes.
in a nation to not to live as if they're not married and not be having a lot of children at a certain point? Or is that just during fasting and praying?
Oh, no, there's not scripture that talks about that. In fact, you have specific examples in scripture when, for example, the Israelites were exiled to Babylon and the Lord specifically said to them, don't shrink, have children, be fruitful, build families. Even though you're in this exiled disposition, you continue doing what I called you to do. Paul writes to Timothy specifically, in latter times when there's insidious evil, metastasizing evil, but as for you, you continue in what you know to be true because you're familiar with the sacred writing. Simply put, that there is not an external circumstantial observation that dictates what the children of God are supposed to say and to do, but we continue in what God has called us to do regardless of what's happening around us. And in so doing, there will be a clear contrast in the lives of the people of God that are contrasted from those that are surrounding. No, the exact opposite is true. There's no scripture that would support that kind of somewhat even describe it as kind of an escapist dispositional orientation. But I'm trying to get a couple more calls in. We'll back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Virginia to where Lee is on the line. Lee, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Brother Hamilton. You probably know me from my comment about winking, blinking, and nod.
I remember you.
Yes.
Thank you for calling back. Go right ahead.
Right. Well, usually on the website, my name is Robin, but, you know, one last thought based on her perspective on power. Is there not a famous quote that says, he who rocks the cradle or she who rocks the cradle controls the world?
Yes, there is a famous quote that says that, but apparently that quote may not either be made aware to Miss Ben or she ascribes to some other type of understanding, but it is true. Oh, man, that clock is so disrespectful. We have more people on the line. I'll try to revisit, not try, I'm going to plan to revisit this conversation tomorrow. We have other things I want to get to, but it's unfortunate that Ideologies like this have so infected our society to what used to be firmly established and well-understood truths have now become really cannon fodder and societal regression. That'll even have a young woman like Afton Ben to deny the God-given potency of doing something that only women are uniquely created to do, which is to incubate and cultivate image bearers. And it literally is the central ingredient that God has given us to the expansion quantitatively and generationally of his kingdom.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.